you're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back for another installment of probably the most neglected part of the Neighborhood Archive, which is the podcast. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were sitting around, and we put on some music, and it happened to be a CD that I honestly hadn't put on in a little while. It was some familiar songs sung in a little bit different way than we were used to, and it just seemed to set the mood perfectly for our evening where we had kickback. I think we were sharing a bottle of wine at the time, and this just hit the spot.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty world.
And so I contacted the talented Holly Yarbrough, who is the voice behind a CD or an album you may be familiar with called Mr. Rogers Swings. So, Holly, I'm very glad to have you with us tonight. Really thank you for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Well, this CD has been out since, what, 2008, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it was 2008, yeah.
2008,
okay. We finally got it out there, yep.
And, you know, in the time since then, since it came out, it's a CD that comes on in my house occasionally, and it's one that I always enjoy because it's, like I said, it's familiar songs in a different style. If you would, let's start off just talking about the style of music that you've done here. Just for the people who may not be familiar with the album, tell us a little bit about the album and the style behind it.
Well, sure. It's kind of what I had intended to do was to make more of a grown-up Mr. Rogers record, something that was more of a cocktail jazz kind of rendition of some of Mr. Rogers' tunes, and the way it kind of came about was Mr. Rogers used to come on here in Nashville where I live at about 11:30 or so, and I used to watch it every day as a kind of a relaxation thing as an adult. And this is long after, you know, I used to watch Mr. Rogers all the time as a kid, but I hadn't really watched it much as an adult until I started watching this as my sort of moment of zen. And this was a little bit before he passed away, and you know, as I was watching it, I started remembering these songs from childhood and realizing that they had a lot more depth to them than just a little children's ditty. You know, they really had some amazing structure and lyrics, and they were kind of like Tin Pan Alley, you know, Great American Songbook type songs, and I really wanted to do something with them that would do them justice that way and put them in a whole new format that they could be heard in a new kind of way.
Yeah, I think I read an interview that you had done. I'm not sure when the interview actually was from, but I think the phrase that you used was you wanted to make an adult Mr. Rogers album, and I thought that was a great description of this because, you know, a lot of times you hear the name Mr. Rogers and immediately your mindset goes to childhood things and you know, these little kiddie songs. And I think you did a fantastic job of taking these what have always been considered kid songs and exactly like what you said, they've got so much depth to them that they can be applied to adulthood, and you've just taken these songs and done them in an adult style to do just that.
Well, and you know, I think Mr. Rogers never really got his due as a serious songwriter, and I think from what I've read about his history, he really wanted to be a serious songwriter and was headed towards Tin Pan Alley when he graduated from college and ended up in television kind of as a fluke. But he took his songwriting very seriously, and he was a real student of, you know, the greats of that era, Cole Porter and Gershwin and those sorts, and you know, I think you can hear that in the structure of his material. There's some really sophisticated stuff going on in those kid songs.
So tell me about the process of putting together this album. I mean, what I guess if I can ask a bunch of questions all at once, what helped you to decide what songs to use? What kind of a response did you get from other people? Because you know, to say I'm an adult and I'm going to record this collection of Mr. Rogers songs, I'm sure got some interesting responses from your peers and fellow musicians.
Well,
so I'm curious what kind of response you got.
It's funny, when I first started talking about the idea, most people, there was a lot of surprise, but a lot of warmth. Like so many people remembered his music so fondly that people would be surprised at first, and then they'd be like, oh yeah, man, I want to work on that, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I was approaching the musicians that I wanted to recruit to do the project, they were, you know, really interested. I mean, kind of curious at first if that would work out, but then once they started listening down to the material, they were like, oh man, these are some great tunes. Mm-hmm. And so, it was really a pleasure to do it. And, where it kind of came from was, when I moved to Nashville, I had been living in Chicago and I moved here in 2000. And, I started working at a place called the Nashville Jazz Workshop, taking some classes and really kind of honing in on a more jazz sound. Prior to that, I'd been more of folk influenced, I'd say. My dad's a folk singer, and that kind of was where I was coming from musically. And when I went to the jazz workshop, I was surprised at how much this music just seemed to be a part of me, because I'd never really sung much jazz prior to that. And in retrospect, I really think a lot of it had to do with Mr. Rogers, because I watched Mr. Rogers growing up, and, you know, pretty religiously, and I think that his sophisticated chord structures kind of got into my brain. So a lot of these things, when I encountered them later as an adult, just seemed almost second nature, like something that I had heard so many times before. And I think it's because of the musical education I got watching Mr. Rogers as a kid.
Mm-hmm. So with, I mean, literally hundreds of songs that Fred wrote throughout the years, how did you narrow this down to the 15 or 16 that you chose for the album? Did you go with the most popular titles? Did you go with some that were personally meaningful? How did you narrow this down?
That's a really good question. I actually went ahead and once I realized I wanted to do this project, and that happened after Mr. Rogers died, after Fred Rogers passed away. I had thought of this prior to him passing away, but then after he passed away, I felt really compelled to, just on a personal level as a tribute to him, to do something that would help carry on his legacy in some way. So I got a copy of everything I could find that he had recorded, and there were, I think, four or five Mr. Rogers tapes that he had done himself of music from the show. And it was quite a few songs because he wrote so much over the years. And I just started listening to them constantly and just kind of taking notes as to which songs kept kind of bubbling up in my unconscious sort of after the fact to try and narrow it down to what would be the good core list of songs to do. So that was kind of the process.
Okay.
And there were a lot of songs he had that were kind of like little ditty pieces that mm-hmm. would fill in the particular vignettes in the show. It didn't hold together quite as well as a straight-ahead jazz tune.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, kind of looked at what might make a good solid tune that would be kind of like a Great American Songbook type tune. So.
What are some of your favorites on the album? Do you have a few that stand out as particular favorites of yours?
There are a couple that I really like for a variety of reasons. I mean, it's been now a number of years since I've done it, and I can say I still, when I listen back, I think, wow, you know, I'm glad I did that. That's something I'm proud of. But I think the one that is my personal favorite is You've Got to Do It,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, there are a lot of obstacles to overcome in the process of trying to get the project launched, and I think I kept hearing that song in my head as I was doing it, but you've got to do it. And I still do. Like, when there's something I'm having a hard time facing, I still kind of think of that song.
You've got to do it, every little bit. You've got to do it, do it, do it, do it. And when you're through, you can know who did it, for you did it, you did it, you did it.
I've got a postcard. It's a promotional card that's got a picture of Daniel Striped Tiger in the corner. He's holding a martini glass. And I'm just fascinated by this because I love the phrase that's there with it that says, it's cocktail time in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And I was curious who was behind the artwork that was done for the album.
A graphic designer named Amy Roberts-Mazurek and I worked really closely together. She had worked with me on another project that I did with my father, and I really liked her style, and she loved Mr. Rogers, and she had a young child, and she kind of got the whole idea that it was going to be Mr. Rogers for grown-ups, and mm-hmm. so, you know, we worked on it together.
Yeah, this picture of Daniel Striped Tiger with a martini in his hand is fantastic.
I'm so glad you liked it.
So it sounds to me like you were clearly a Mr. Rogers kid growing up. What are some thoughts and memories that you've got of watching the show as a child? Anything that you hold dear? Thoughts on Fred himself? Just anything you'd be willing to offer.
Sure. I sure wish I had gotten to meet him. He would have been, you know, the one person I really would have loved to spend some time with. But when I was a kid growing up, he was kind of like my best friend. I was an only child, and I remember vividly watching him sometimes in the morning or sometimes coming home from school and watching him. And he was somebody who just understood and was so kind and gentle. And he was like my best buddy until I was about probably five or so. And then you kind of get to that age where Mr. Rogers isn't so cool anymore, you know, and it's all about Sesame Street and the Electric Company, and Mr. Rogers is kind of a geek. And, you know, I think I went through that phase like a lot of us did. But then later, as an adult, you know, in my mid-20s to my early 30s, when I started seeing him on television in reruns, it really struck a chord in me, the you know, raw honesty of the show. Mm-hmm. And the lack of pretense and the direct way that he would speak to the audience, and just this incredible warmth, you know, washed over me because it was so different from everything else that's out there that's just so commercialized and so quick jump cuts, this and that, and, you know, keeping your attention in big, shiny, flashy things. And Mr. Rogers is the antithesis of all that. It couldn't be more simple or more direct. But it's also so deeply sincere, and, you know, it reached me deeply at a time in my life when I was a young adult that just made me remember some of those values. And so I can't say there's one moment in the show that is my favorite, although I love the beginning and I love the ending. Mm-hmm. I loved it when he came in and just kind of greeted everybody off of his jacket, and then just the intro and the outro of the show, mm-hmm. how it sort of took you into this little world, this intimate little world with Mr. Rogers, mm-hmm. that just made you feel like everything was okay and you're okay. And, you know, it was just such a soothing, wonderful time. And even as a grown-up now, watching it makes me feel that way still.
Well, let's talk about the other things that you've done. I know you mentioned that, you know, your dad is a musician as well. You've done some stuff with him. What are some other things besides Mr. Rogers Swings that you've done maybe prior to that album and the time since?
Well, Mr. Rogers Swings is the first solo effort that I ever really made. And I feel like part of why I was able to do that was because of Mr. Rogers, because of his, I don't know, maybe the nurturing support that I got from him as a kid helped me kind of break out of my shell to do that project on my own as an adult. Because I grew up kind of in the shadow of my father. My dad was a kind of well-known folk musician in the 60s. His name is Glenn Yarbrough, and he sang with a folk group called the Limelighters. And, you know, that's what he did professionally, and he had a pretty successful career. And, you know, when I was born in 69 and kind of on the heels of his kind of heyday. And I sort of grew up always sort of in the shadow of my dad and his career. And I always sang from the time I was a little kid, but it never seemed to be something that I would do professionally. And I think a lot of kids of people that have achieved some level of success or notoriety probably have similar feelings. It's just hard to kind of make it out there on your own, or to have the, I don't know, the focus or the confidence to get out there as a solo person. But I did make several records with my dad. One was in about 1996. We made a folk album called Family Portrait, and it was real kind of an intimate father-daughter album. And it was shortly after I actually was in law school at the time and had left law school and just made that record. And it was a wonderful thing to do with my dad. It meant a lot to me. And then I, you know, lived in Chicago and worked and did other things, paying the bills. And after I moved to Nashville in 2000, I made a second record with my father, which was called No One Is Alone. And that one, I don't think I'm credited as a producer on that one, but I pretty much put it together. And it was made as a tribute to his father, Bruce Yarbrough, who had passed away in 1999. Hmm. And I had taken care of him when he was dying, and he had hospice care. And that was a real life changer for me, getting involved with hospice. And actually, in the years since, for the past 8 years, I've worked for hospice as a career. So this album, No One Is Alone, is kind of hospice-oriented, folky type stuff that was intended as a tribute to Grandpa. Hmm. And we recorded that in 2001, actually. And then 9/11 happened, and for a variety of reasons, we didn't end up releasing it or finishing it. 9/11 happened kind of in the middle of the recording, so it kind of put us off track. And I finally got that released a few years after. And around that time was the same time that I started hatching the plan to maybe do something on my own with Mr. Rogers material. So that's kind of how all that happened. But in the meantime, since Mr. Rogers has been released, I've been working for a live hospice in Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Do you still do any music at all?
I have a lot of ideas of things I'd like to do, but it's difficult to make a living as a musician. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for better or for worse, I'm generally not the kind of person that's always trying to get up on stage and be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it a little bit more difficult. But I do have some projects that I'd really like to do. My father now is 83, and he has dementia. Mm-hmm. And as of 2010, I've become his caretaker, basically. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I've really thought about wanting to do something as a tribute to my dad with some of his material. And the other project that I'd really like to do, this is kind of an offbeat notion, but my grandfather lived in Hawaii, and that's where we were when I was taking care of him, and I spent summers there as a kid, and I feel a real connection to Hawaii, and I love Hawaiian music. I love slack key guitar, and there's some fantastic fingerstyle players here in Nashville, and I'd really like to do a Hawaiian album kind of tuned in Hawaiian using Nashville players and have kind of an Aloha Nashville sort of compilation.
That'd be great.
So those are the two things that are, you know, on my wish I could do someday when I get some time kind of plan. But I'll tell you, working full-time for hospice and also taking care of my dad, it makes it hard. But
not
I'm
a lot of time
not
left.
Giving up yet.
Yeah. Well, for the good of the cause, what can you offer to the Mr. Rogers crowd that's listening? Just any final thoughts on anything we've discussed, on any thoughts you have, anything you wanted to share?
Gosh, so much.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is to just keep the spirit of Mr. Rogers alive and the sincerity and kindness that he projected into the world, to keep treating each other that way.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And you know, for the people who aren't familiar with Mr. Rogers' swings, I encourage you to pick up a copy, whether it's through Amazon, through independent websites. I believe it's on iTunes. Whatever means that you're comfortable with, by all means, check out this album. If you're familiar with Mr. Rogers' music, it's a great new take on some songs that you're familiar with. So, Holly, I really appreciate your time tonight, and thank you for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate the interest, and I'm really glad that people are enjoying this music in a new way.
Great. Thanks, Holly.